We welcome all of you newcomers here and all the regulars as well. It's great to be able to meet together and worship today. We've been going through a series of sermons the last few weeks looking at scriptures that talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how he teaches us, how he guides us, how he equips us. And I've got one more message I want to share here before we start our Advent season next Sunday. And then perhaps in the new year there'll be a couple more to finish up on this theme. So to begin this message this morning, I have an illustration for you. I have brought with me here today, and for those who are listening now to this message later, I have brought with me a tool that I have made use of lots in my home over the years for home renovation. It's a really great tool. What it consists of is three components. There's a power head that goes with it. And then I have some accessories. So this one here is an oscillating saw. How many of you have used one of these things? They are great, aren't they? You can cut places and do things with this that and no other saw works for. It's wonderful, okay? When I bought this tool at Home Depot a number of years ago, the promotion that was there also allowed for a second accessory you could choose for free. So I chose a second accessory, that being a right angle impact head. And this is really nifty because you can put a screw a head in there or a drill bit, and you can drill holes or put screws in really tight places where you can't get a hand drill in. This is a really good thing. Now, what's the third component of this tool? Yeah, exactly. It's all wonderful, except you got to put a battery in it, right. Okay, I introduce this sermon illustration to you here now, and I'm going to lay it down. As I preach this morning, time willing, I'm going to conclude with this illustration again. I want you to think how I could use this as an illustration for this sermon this morning. So take your Bibles. We got the PowerPoint that's going to work now. We're having a little trouble with it this morning. Thank you to the guys who worked so hard to get all the technology figured out. I called this message this morning, The Church Alive and Growing. So we're going to begin in the Gospel of Matthew. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Let's see what we got here. Is this going to work? Here we go. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 15 to 18. That wonderful encounter that Jesus had with his disciples. And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Here at the Westlaw Gospel Chapel, what we believe that is saying is that based upon Peter's confession of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus said he would build his church. The word church is the word ekklesia. And basically, it's a compound Greek word that basically means called out or called among. And it's the idea that in scriptures, this word refers to the community of the redeemed. Whether on earth or in heaven or both together, we are part of the church. The called out ones and called together to be among God's building, God's church. And so I'm so thankful this morning that we can understand the reality of God at work and God present in our lives. And the essence of this message this morning is to try and encourage you to realize that what we have here, happening here, is just a small illustration of what Jesus is doing around the world, but that the unity of the Spirit we experience is a gift of God by his Spirit amongst us, but also that by God's Spirit we are empowered to grow. Jesus said he would build his church. There's two key illustrations illustrations that come out of Paul's writings that talk about this. But the church is really an amazing group of people. I know all of you, or many of you, belong to other organizations, perhaps other situations, other groups and so on, that do amazing things in our community. And we're thankful for each one of them that do that. But what we have here when we gather together as the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, is a gathering of people in which the Holy Spirit is here amongst us. God's Spirit is present, working in our lives and through us, which makes it so wonderful. And by that same, the same Spirit, we connect with people around the world. And Paul so said to Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. We have a task. We have a responsibility to keep declaring the truth of God's word, the power of the gospel, and his Spirit at work in our lives. So there are two illustrations in Paul's writings of what the church is like. The first one is he considers the church as a building. A building. And so in Ephesians 2, referring to us, he said, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A building. We're a building. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We don't use cornerstones maybe quite the same now in our building construction, but in ancient times, the cornerstone was the reference point to being the rest of the building, to keep it square, straight. They would always refer to the cornerstone, and then the foundation, it says here, of what the apostles and prophets have taught for us. This is a very unique illustration here. A second application, or second verse about it from Corinthians says, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's one illustration of the church in the scriptures. The second one is, the church is like a body. Exactly. The church is a living body of all of us believers together. And 1 Corinthians 12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being made many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You notice the word one there mentioned a lot of times? It's one Spirit, one body together. And so there's great pictures of that. And this idea of the body is really referenced a number of places in Paul's writings. For instance, Colossians 2, verse 19, holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. When you have a young child, what's one of the signs that they're healthy? They're growing. They're growing, exactly. When your child has a good appetite, when your child keeps growing, when it seems like you can't keep clothes on them because their arms are growing longer and their legs are growing longer and so on, that's a sign of health that we can be truly thankful for. I believe that this is the same sign we can consider in Christ's body, that when the body of Christ is strong, it will be growing. Now, in God's design for the church to grow and to be healthy, each one of us has opportunities to receive, but also responsibilities to give and to participate. And so God's design for the growing healthy church is that everyone contributes. So here's this passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 6. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. What I want to take my time for this morning is to look at the scriptures and try to consider some of the ways that we all have an opportunity to contribute to the health and growth of the body by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And so, as Paul was writing again to the Corinthians about the idea of this one body, he makes this statement. He says, but there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same Spirit who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We receive from the work, the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then using whatever God gives us, whether by natural ability or maybe even more importantly by Holy Spirit-given ability and gifts, we serve and contribute to the church body. Now, I picked out in this passage here specifically those three definitions of the ways people contribute. There are gifts, there are ministries, and there are activities. Gifts, ministries, and activities. I don't want to get too rigid in that particular format, but I found it interesting that Paul uses those words, gifts, ministries, and activities. So I would like to look at three portions of Scripture that outline a list of some of the gifts, some of the ministries, and some of the activities that Paul recognized and identified in the function and health of the local church. And so we start off with what I understand as gifts. And so Romans chapter 12, this is the first of the passages, if you want to have a place marked in your Bible, of those aspects of how God works in his church, here's the first one, Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What I'm going to do in these next few minutes is just make a brief statement about each one of these gifts, and certainly there's much more that could be said about each one, but we don't have time for that here today. Notice this verse starts off, though, that we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. This phrase emphasizes the diversity of spiritual gifts among believers, but they're rooted in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's God's unearned favor in our lives. And so we don't earn the opportunity to be able to have gifts to give to the church. Actually, they are a gift to us that we can in turn give to other people. It is the grace of God at work in our lives, of course, made possible by the Holy Spirit distributing that. But let's look at these things. The first one is mentioned is prophecy. Prophecy in the New Testament context involves speaking forth the Word of God. Sometimes we think of prophets, especially in the Old Testament, as having the ability to foretell things that were going to come. But the New Testament model of prophecy is actually focused more on the ability to be able to speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's the ability to be able to use by the Holy Spirit to say things that really are meaningful in people's hearts and lives. So it's not limited just to foretelling of events, but to speaking clearly. As I consider the gift of prophecy in the local church, one of the things that I see in the New Testament and I think we really need is the prophets in the New Testament were often empowered to speak strongly to the local church, especially when they were facing persecution. It was like clarity. What should we do? How do we deal with this? How do we cope with this? Folks, I believe we're heading into a time in history now where we are going to need the encouragement of people with the gift of prophecy to help us know what to do in a moment of need and pressure. A prophet also is somebody who can clearly differentiate between what's right and wrong. As in the Old Testament, they called the nation to repentance often. The same thing. We need people who can help us discern what's right and what's wrong, because what's happening in our culture? Deception. Confusion. Like, oh my goodness, you don't know what to believe anymore. A person with the gift of prophecy can help sort that out and help us understand what's true and what's right, what's wrong. So that's the first one, prophecy. Let's go quick to the next one. Serving. This is really a catch-all phrase for many, many different activities that we can do and serve in the local church. The phrase emphasizes the importance of using one's spiritual gifts for the benefit of the church community. It comes from the Greek word diakonia, which we get the word deacon from. But it's the whole act of serving as an act of humility and obedience, echoing the servanthood of Christ to the church. And so it can be everything from washing feet to washing dishes to washing windows and everything beyond that. It's serving, finding ways to just go, care and be involved and to work. Many of you are involved in that already, and I thank you for that. The next one is prophecy, ministry, the next one, or serving, and then teaching. Where did I get serving in there? It comes up anyhow. We're not confused. Teaching. I think serving and ministry were the same thing. Give me a break. Teaching. Teaching is a critical function within the church, responsible for disseminating and explaining biblical truth. It's a gift that requires both knowledge of the Word of God and the ability to communicate effectively to the church. In the early church, the teachers played a crucial role in helping ground the believers in the teachings of Christ and to know how they should live that out in obedience. And teaching is not only about imparting knowledge, but about guiding others in spiritual growth and maturity. So these Holy Spirit gifts, prophecy, ministry or serving, teaching. Another one is exhorting or encouraging. Encouraging is a spiritual gift that involves uplifting and motivating other people. This goes along kind of in line with the gift of prophecy, is when we're in difficult times, the encourager comes along and helps us. Barnabas was a well-known son of encouragement, in which he traveled with Paul and supported and encouraged people who were struggling or having difficulty. Encouragement is not merely about positive words, but involves strengthening people in their faith. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but so much more encouraging one another as we see the Lord's return coming sooner. So encouraging and exhorting are important. The next one is giving. Generosity is a hallmark of Christian living, reflecting God's own generosity in giving his Son for all of humanity. The early church practiced giving in the fact that they sold their possessions and shared with one another as they had need. Giving is not just limited to financial resources, but includes giving our time, our talents, hospitality, and so on. Many of you practice the gift of giving on a regular basis, and we want to continue in that. Then, he who leads with diligence. Leading, we get the picture there of biblical leaders like Moses and Nehemiah, who demonstrated diligence in guiding God's people through challenging times. Leadership is a service. It's not a position of power. It's what we do to help people grow and follow the Lord. It involves diligence, being proactive, being responsible, and attentive to the needs of the local church. And then finally, in this list of Holy Spirit gifts is mercy, showing mercy. Mercy is a reflection of God's compassion and forgiveness. Showing mercy involves acts of kindness and forgiveness, often to those who may not even deserve it. So these are just a few of the Holy Spirit gifts. Okay, being able to speak with impact and power, being able to serve, being able to teach, exhorting and encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. So that's the first list. Now let's go on to another one. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These are what I would call Holy Spirit ministries or roles. Roles. Tasks that people take on. And it's interesting, these fivefold ministry gifts or roles are one that come with a little bit of conflict sometimes in terms of how they function and work today. But let me just share a few thoughts here. The first one is the role of the apostle. The apostles were foundational to the early church, serving as Christ's messengers and witnesses to his resurrection. The term apostle means one who is sent out. The original apostles were chosen by Jesus, and then also including Paul. And their role was to establish churches and provide authoritative teaching. This office is closely linked to the New Testament's formation, for many apostles contributed to the writing of the New Testament. So during the initial starting of the church in Acts chapter 1 and further, the apostles, by the work of the Holy Spirit, communicated the teaching and truth that they needed to establish and build the local church. That writing and that compilation of truth ended in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, written by the apostle John, who outlived all the rest of the other apostles, and he wrote that just before his death. So we believe that those original apostles, that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That was a work that they gave. However, I still believe that the ministry role of an apostle still has some value today. Not for adding new scripture, but in their leadership gifting as being ones who are sent out. The leadership gifting of the apostle has continued. They are what I would consider the entrepreneurs of the church. They are the ones who are willing to go church planting, to take the gospel to other communities, other countries, other nations. I believe that we have watched the gifting or the role of an apostle exercised often in the work of missionaries who have gone to new lands and have taken the gospel with real courage and boldness and planted churches and seen them grow. The other aspect of an apostle that we saw again in the life of the Apostle Paul was that he was a real caregiver and a fatherly figure, not just to individuals like Timothy, but to churches, to communities, and to whole countries, to provinces where there are multiple churches. The gifting of an apostle is able to care for large numbers of churches and church communities, as opposed to a pastor who's often caring for just a local church. So while we do not add to Scripture, I still believe that the role of an apostle is still valid for today in the extension of the church and the caring of the community. Next is prophets. And again, in the New Testament, these are the ones who spoke with clarity to edify, exhort, and comfort, as I said previously in one of those other lists. The next one is evangelists. Evangelists are those specially gifted to proclaim the gospel and bring others to faith in Christ. And this role is exemplified by some of the early apostles, Philip being one of the most notable, who traveled to spread the good news. I believe that apostles are essential for the local church growth and expansion, not just for souls to be saved, but also for us to catch the wind of evangelism. Because some of us aren't as bold or as certain as someone who has the role of an evangelist. They can go for it, but we learn from them. We're encouraged by them. There are a few of you here who have the gift of an evangelist. And when you do, it's amazing. You can talk to people about the gospel, and then you just somehow are able to just lead them into praying and receiving Christ as their Savior. That's your gift working in your life, that role. And then lastly, pastors and teachers, these are the ones that are most familiar to us. They serve in a role of shepherding, instructing, and teaching the church. I don't think it's entirely correct that we have made the pastor and the teacher as the key role of leadership in local churches. I believe that the roles of apostles, prophets, evangelists as well are important for the whole church, because It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not to do all the work, but to equip the body to move together. So that's the second passage of Scripture. Now the third comes back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to go through these real quick here. For to one is given a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a Holy Spirit ability in a moment's notice to supernaturally disclose the purposes and will of God in a specific situation. Compared to a word of knowledge, which again is a Holy Spirit moment of information to help understand what's in somebody's heart and mind. Word of knowledge, as I understand it, is understanding what God would say in the moment. A word of knowledge is understanding what's going on in your life in the moment, that we can speak to that and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. The next one is faith. We all have faith, but there are times when God gives us a burst of faith, or someone actually has the gift of faith whereby they can believe God to supernaturally provide in specific issues and circumstances where the rest of us are trembling in our boots. The gift of faith says, no, God will provide. We are going to see God move here. Then there's the gift of healings. It's interesting, this is plural. These are healings that God performs supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. The plurality suggests that there are, again, many sicknesses and many diseases. Therefore, the gift of healing can be related to many kinds of disorders as God works miracles in their lives. Then again, the real catch-all phrase, the working of miracles. Miracles is the manifestation of God's power beyond the ordinary course of natural law. It's a divine enablement to do something that could not be done naturally. We go on in this list in Corinthians, and it talks about prophecy. There it is again. It's in all three lists. The prophets and prophecy. Again, it's being able to speak to the situation in the moment with clarity from the Lord. Discerning of spirits. The Word of God tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This gifting is one in which God gives people very clear discernment of whether something is really quite right or not, whether it's true or not, whether it's really God's spirit at work or some spirit of deception. Again, we need this functioning in our body in these days. Then, going on, it says different kinds of tongues. Tongues are the ability to speak supernaturally in a language not known to the speaker. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, they were all speaking in tongues in languages they did not know, but there were people there that day from various parts of the world who heard those words that were being shared, and they understood them because they were speaking in their own language. Oh, and they said they are speaking the wonderful works of God. And so sometimes, though, if this gift is used in a public situation, we don't know what's being said, and that's where the interpretation of tongues, it's the gift of rendering the message of the Spirit meaningful to others when the gift of tongues is being used publicly. I'm not going to say a lot about this morning, but I believe that there's some clear differentiation in 1 Corinthians 14, that there are tongues that are spoken out in public, which we don't hear very often. It's not a very common thing in our circles here. But there's also tongues that's for private use, which is a prayer language, an expression of worship and intercession before the Lord in private. And it doesn't need to be interpreted, but it's just the language of the Spirit from the heart calling on the Lord. If you want to talk more about that, come and talk with me later. But there's a difference between public and private use. So those are scriptures that just talk about the various gifts and ministries and work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Now, I want to go on here and conclude with this. Every one of us, God wants to give us or is giving us something that we can use to contribute to the body of Christ. So Ephesians, Paul said, but we, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every joint does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Going back to the illustration of a body, When every part of your body is participating in strength and health, you feel good. You can take on challenges and tasks because you feel healthy. This is the way the body of Christ is as well. When every single one of us are finding our places to participate, joined together by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it will be amazing what we can lift, what we can carry, what we can accomplish, what we can dream about, what we can do for the glory of God in our community and in our area. But it's all under the headship of Christ, his head. He is making this all come together, and we trust and worship him for his Spirit at work in our lives. So I conclude with this last slide. How then do we find our place in Christ's body? How do we find our place in terms of participating and contributing? Here's a few suggestions that I have. Number one, we need to belong and grow through spiritual birth. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us clearly that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If we are going to contribute to the body of Christ with the gifts and roles of the Holy Spirit, we have to, first of all, be born of the Spirit. We have to have spiritual life. We have to have the life of Christ in us. So we participate, first of all. Then we live under the headship of Christ. He is the head of all of this. He is the one who guides us and leads us. Then, thirdly, let's then simply desire and ask for the Holy Spirit to give us gifts, to give us ways to participate. Then, how do we discern that? What's God giving us? Well, if you see a need, look for ways to meet it. If you see a piece of trash in the driveway, what should you do? Pick it up. If you see a child who can't find their parent, what should you do? Help them find it. You might think, but I'm not good with kids. Doesn't matter. You saw the need. Do something. Allow the Lord to use you as you begin to exercise and experiment. Then thirdly, as you do that, be teachable, because you'll need some input, some guidance, some help, helping to mature in these gifts. I think it's important that we maintain the big picture. Again, this is for the glory of God. It's not about me. It's not about what I can get out. It's all for God's glory and for the health and strength of the local church. And here's the last one. When should you start? Today. Why wait for a better time? Start today. Keep growing. Keep trusting the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Our time is almost gone. Now. All right. Who's been thinking about this illustration? What does this represent? This piece of this tool I have here, which is the main head of the tool here, this tool has incredible design and potential in it. This tool probably took many hours of an engineering team and crew to get all the wiring, the circuitry, the motors, the switches, everything. This is amazing design. Just like God has an amazing design for his church. It's incredible, the potential that God has designed in his church. But is this enough? No. God has designed that every one of us can contribute in some way. Every one of us can contribute through gifts, ministries, roles, activities of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be connected to the church. It's all wonderful, isn't it? The potential is there. Except, what's the problem? There's no power. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives in order for all of this to come together. God's design, connected with your obedience and willingness to use your gifts and abilities, and the Holy Spirit filling us and energizing us. And what happens? We have an amazing potential for work to be accomplished, for God to be glorified. Now, okay, guys, I'm going to ask you especially this. How many of you have bought tools that look as new today as the day you purchased them? Yeah, exactly. When they're nice and new, my goodness, they're great, eh? But when you purchase a tool like this, what's the intended purpose? It's to accomplish work, exactly. I've had this tool in some pretty dusty, dirty places. I've probably dropped it a time or two. It's been in my tool belt. I've packed the thing around. I've changed the blade numerous times because you use it and it gets dull. You have to put a new one in and so on. Folks, the combination of God's plan and design with your gifts and abilities contributing to it, energized by the Holy Spirit, is intended for work. It's intended for building, construction, and the moving of the Holy Spirit that the kingdom of God can be built in our lives. And I'm so thankful that here this morning, there's all kinds of ways and means that you give your gifts, your abilities, to the work, to the plan of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in order that God can be glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this has been a really fast message, but I pray, Holy Spirit, you will sow something in our hearts of this reality of your work in our lives so that each one of us can contribute and minister and, Lord, be part of what the church that you are using to build your purposes, your kingdom in the world. So guide us and lead us, I pray. Lord God, inspire us to be finding our place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's the end of my message, but we're not done yet.